Proclamation number 1587 of 29th August 1940. Reincarnation. Spiritual vision. Behold the stars of heaven, contemplate the firmament, and let your thoughts wander into the infinite universe, which harbors works of creation in incomprehensible numbers. Compared to these works of creation, man is only a tiny creature. So it seems. And yet the whole of creation is intended to prepare the being for its day on earth as a human being. Thus the whole of creation is effectively a means to an end for the human being. The works of creation first had to bring the spiritual substance to a certain degree of maturity so that it could then take abode in the flesh and be allowed to end its earthly progress with this stage. It was an infinitely long path on earth which, however, will now come to an end regardless of how the soul's formation has developed, whether it is in a high or low state of maturity at the end of earthly life. Being has fulfilled its task on earth, but with which success, no longer changes the fact that the course on earth has now finally been covered once physical death separates the soul from the body. Being has fulfilled its task on earth, regardless of its success, it no longer changes the fact that the course on earth has now finally been covered when bodily death separates soul from flesh. The soul now enters the kingdom of the beyond, which at this point can be the kingdom of light for it, but also a lightless abode if earthly life was not utilized. It would then be an act of infinite cruelty if the soul were to remain in its lightless state for eternities, if it were no longer offered any opportunity to make up for what it had missed on earth, if free will has decided to exchange the lightless state abode for brighter regions. And thus the soul is also offered the opportunity to liberate itself in the beyond. It is up to look for a sphere of activity which gives it the same possibilities for the soul's higher development as on earth, or to reject every such possibility and to remain in a state without light. God has allowed countless creations to come into being precisely for the purpose of the further development of such imperfect souls, far removed from human knowledge and also never fathomable to it intellectually. And so, if there is talk of reincarnation, this is certainly correct, but it will never take place on the same earth that once gave the human soul free rein. God's creations, all harbor beings, which still strive to ascend. Only the perfect beings, the beings of light, no longer require any works of creation for their task or pleasing activity. Only as long as the being is still bound, that is, has not yet detached itself from matter, is its whereabouts a place of God's visible creations in the universe, depending on its state of maturity, but always outside of earth, for its day on earth ends with bodily death. The divine creations have come into being in so inconceivably many variations that all imperfect beings have the opportunity, according to their state of maturity, to constantly work on themselves and to continue or tackle the work of self-redemption which was started or neglected on earth. It will only ever depend on how strong the will of these beings is for the light, that is, to what extent the being has a desire to escape its present state and environment in order to reach lighter spheres. However, the unused time on earth can no longer be recaptured insofar as that this day on earth in a correctly utilized will earns the being the degree of chilship to God, which, on the other hand, is no longer possible, although the redemption from darkness and the entry into spheres of light is likewise an unimaginable state of happiness for the being. Only the tasks of these beings are different from those of the true children of God. Even if people gain insight into the activity of struggling and also redeem beings through spiritual vision, they are nevertheless unable to assess the degree of light and even less able to recognize the soul's current place of abode. Therefore, the souls are active as long as they desire to ascend, and this activity is erroneously regarded as earthly activity. Thus the conclusion is drawn that these beings are on earth again. There are no essential characteristics which mark the present whereabouts. A spiritual observer sees more the actual activity of the beings and their surroundings, and these surroundings are only dimly recognizable to the observer. They also correspond to the being's state of light and are therefore completely different, but always adapted to the being's state of maturity and desire. Thus, if the being is still exceedingly earthbound, that is, if it is still attached to earth, and its possessions with all its senses, the environment will also take on such forms, for the being creates this environment itself according to its desires. And therefore the soul can certainly dwell in earthly realms without, however, still being connected to earth. The environment will adapt itself to its desire and state of maturity, however always only in its imagination, but which the spiritually seeing person regards as reality, and therefore comes to the erroneous thinking that these beings return again to earth and are therefore allowed to embody themselves again on earth. Imperfect beings can never arbitrarily return to earth if they have travelled the earthly path through inconceivably long times and have now concluded their earthly existence as a human being with the death of their body. What they have to expect afterwards, whether in a mature or immature state of soul, is spiritual life completely outside of earth, because the whole universe has to show creations, which are again destined to shape the spiritual within the universe, so that it can free itself from everything what still encircles the spiritual as a burden. And if earthly life has not brought this redemption to the being, it has to go through God's further creations, so that it finally can reach the light and enjoy eternal bliss close to God. Amen.